You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep...
Jeremiah Workman, talking about keeping the monkeys in the cage. Speaking of monkeys, joining us is the one and only, the head monkey from Texas, Michael Musselman.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
The cage.
Welcome home.
Yeah.
We missed you, man. First of all, I've had people ask, how's Gunner? How's Gunner? I said, he's a cockroach, man. He's a cockroach. You cannot kill him. So tell us what happened. Last we heard, you were going to get your Botox shot. That's normally the cure-all, and all of a sudden, you're not around for a while. What happened?
Yeah, so I went to get my Botox, and unfortunately, I had a headache that day going in, thinking that it was going to, you know, eliminate it. What's that background noise? It's like, I'm having feedback.
You're getting feedback.
Well, it's squeaking on your end.
I don't hear anything on my end.
Okay.
It's you.
I'll just put up with it, because that's the way I am, man.
It's you. it's you, not me. Hey, what?
No, I'm a trooper, man. Okay, so let me finish.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. When you say headache, explain headache. You're not talking about a normal headache.
No, this was actually a normal headache.
Man. Oh, okay.
It's just a pain headache in the eyes. You know, not a big deal. That's why it didn't concern me at all. I wasn't concerned. And then, right after I got my Botox shot, I laid down for a little bit and woke up. My headache was worse. Oh. So, I had the doctor, talked to the doctor. And what happened was, because I had a headache, when I got my Botox, it actually amplifies it. So, note to self, don't get Botox while you get a headache.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't a killer type headache. It was just one of those really bad, annoying ones that wouldn't go away for anything.
Bad, annoying one that won't go away for anything? That's not a killer headache.
No. Killer headaches are when you can't operate, man. When, like you said, you get put down. You lay there, and the sound of breathing is kicking your ass.
Man,
yeah, those are killer headaches.
I don't know. I don't know what. So, how long did it take you to come back to life and be normal?
Thursday, I think. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, I was fine. I mean, I was doing so much caffeine. It was crazy.
Is that good for your?
Like,
is that good for your headaches or not?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, caffeine. You know, like BC powder. You know, have you ever used BC powder?
No. What is it?
BC powder. It's like a little package of powder, like Kool-Aid, and you pour it under your tongue, and it takes away the headache. BC powder is good. But it's got a lot of, it's got a lot of caffeine and Tylenol in the powder, but it goes in your gum or under your tongue. So it goes to you real quick. It hits your system real quick.
Holy shit.
But if you ever tried BC powder is good. What's holy shit? How much caffeine's in it?
Well, no, doing it under the tongue, that's what you do. The only thing I've ever heard that you do that with is nitroglycerin when you think you're having a heart attack. Put that nitroglycerin charge right underneath your tongue so it gets right into you. So you talk about serious stuff. So what you did was you put your headache on steroids by getting the Botox, and now you're okay though?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
All right, give us your thoughts on the latest school shooting. And I want a recommendation. I'm going to a forum tonight at Colleen's High School. to talk about whatever the school's doing and inform parents. Or, and I hope they have. I hope we can. I hope we can talk because I have something to say.
Mac, this is you're probably not gonna. You're gonna walk out of there so upset. You know.
Yeah,
but what they're gonna talk about is the buzzwords that are right now.
I don't care, Mike.
You know
what
the buzzwords are, right?
Gun control will be one of them.
Gun control, school resource officers. That's one of them. You know, let's hire more school resource officers. Great idea. Applaud that person. Give them the Nobel Peace Prize. Where are we going to pay for this? Hey, you brought the idea up. Not I did. I didn't. You figured that out. Well, the only way you can pay for it is if all of the high school or all the big time administrators, the ones with the PhDs, take a pay cut of $10,000. What?
Yeah.
Do you know? Then I can't get the new. Every other year, I can't get the new Mercedes AMG C63 model. You're going to force me to get it every 4 years, asshole.
Okay, so hold on. So here's what I think. I don't know that you can stop these shootings. We can certainly endeavor. The thing you have to be able to do is you have to be able to limit the damage that gets done.
Once it's done.
And so that involves community, that involves somebody here on site with a gun. You have to do that. And then you can hold on, let me just finish. And then after you do that, then you can study it and find out all the other things you need to do.
Because the kindest fate
of all is if you contribute to somebody else's death through your negligence or inaction. And just know that every day that you don't do this, you expose the children of this community to that. And you expose yourself as a leader to a fate that you don't want. And that is that you're responsible for somebody else's death. So I don't know how you pay for it. And if you don't have the money to pay for it, then I say tonight that we start a movement among school districts that don't have the money to pay for it to go to the state of California and then the federal government to create a program that has a state, local, and federal match to fund these things.
No.
That's my solution.
No. No, 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 no. No. First of all, this problem is not my problem. Why do I have to pay for it? I don't have a kid in school. Why am I paying for it in my taxes, Mac? You tell me that. Explain to me. What is it? Because it's my duty? It's a citizen?
So you don't want to pay for this a la carte item because why? You don't have a kid in school?
Oops. Yeah, I don't have a dog in this fight.
Do you have a kid in college?
Yeah, but I pay for that.
Okay, so
I'm paying out my ass for that.
So your taxes that go to colleges you're okay with. So what you want to do is
my taxes don't go to colleges. That's what colleges get paid.
No.
Because
trust me, 100% of their revenue doesn't come from tuition, Mike.
I know it doesn't.
So sales tax that you pay?
100% of the high school's revenue does come from my taxes.
I know, but my point is you can't a la carte, I'll opt in and pay for this, I'll opt
sure,
in and I won't pay for that. No, you can't.
Here's why.
No, because communities communities organize together for collective protection.
No.
And you may not agree with everything on the menu, but you can't opt out and say, okay, I'll only be part of the community for these four things and not for those four.
I'm not going to be part of the community at all, and here's why. Because you fail to enforce the laws of the community. You let, you give the parents a pass because they don't feel like parenting their children. They put it off on somebody else. So the parents get a pass when that kid goes into the system and forced me to pay for it, because if the parent would have been a little bit proactive, then we'd have this problem. But now, because the parent didn't do his job, now I have to step up the plate and be a parent by proxy. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And because we do these things over and over and over, we never hold parents, family, the unity of family responsible.
Right.
Does it make me responsible?
Yes, it does. It means you're going to have to.
No, it doesn't.
It means you're going to have to pay.
Socialist. This is socialism.
No, it's not.
I'm not part of socialism.
No, it's not. You could make that argument for every murder, every robbery, every burglary, every vandalism. And so you don't have to pay for anything because parents aren't held responsible. That's a ridiculous argument.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but no. If everybody was willing to play, everybody was willing to play. Okay? That meant, Mac, who is holding the school board responsible for 21 unfunded deficiencies that tally up, you know, $210 million in one school district? Why? Because they're irresponsible. Who's holding their feet to the fire? Well, no one. Or we say, oh, it's the voters. Just vote them out. Oh, yeah, that's okay. That works. No, the whole system.
I can't.
The whole system.
I know, but here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to disagree with you. It's when you say the system is shit. Okay, but it's the system. It's the system.
Don't come to my morality. Don't come to my morality, my issues, and say, oh, Mike, it's for the better good. But I'm going to ignore the 12 things that you did ignore to get to my point.
But that's our system, and it can't be Mike Musselman's way. It's got to be
right. So the system works when you pay. It doesn't work on all the other things, the failures that got to the point where I have to now pay. Where's the system then? So the system works because in the end, I can tax me. You're going to tax me until, you know, basically you foreclose on my house. That's how the system works. But the system doesn't work because we're irresponsible or we turn a blind eye. We don't do anything that's right to get to that point because we fail to look at what was right to make that right decision. And we had a hundred chances at that thing.
Right. I don't disagree.
And we decided not to swing at it at all.
I don't disagree with
not
you.
Not take it. But see, that's what you're saying here. You're like, but you mean to tell me you can't? No. I'm not a big fan of that because for it to get in my court on my lap, Mac, look back at how many failures it took, and now it's my responsibility.
No, it's not your responsibility, but you're gonna pay for it.
No, and that's what I'm sick and tired of. No, I don't want to pay for it anymore. Why should I have to pay for it? Again, explain to me if 100 things fail that were implemented because of people that were supposed to be in a position of responsibility.
Yes.
You know, you talk about superintendents, right. Sheriffs,
right.
Police chiefs,
right.
Mayors, governors,
right. Right.
And they all fail to do it because they know if they fail, they're going to make me pay. But where's my net? What if I don't pay? Oh, you go to jail.
Right.
Oh.
Well, no, I guess you could.
That's
I guess you could leave the country and go live on your island someplace if you want to do it.
No, if you get enough of them, if you get enough of the people that are in my boat, we take it back.
How do you, in turn? I don't explain that to me. How do you take it back?
You take back your government. It's our government.
Yeah, but there's not enough people in your boat.
They're going to be.
They're not. And so
it is. That's why I'm not in a rowboat. I'm waiting on a massive ocean liner. I may be the only one on it, but I'm waiting.
You and your kooks are going to go to prison, and we're going to come visit you and bring you stuff to read and different things and be supportive of you.
Good.
So what
at
do
least,
I? Okay.
At least I refuse to stop. I mean, we gotta. Where's the madness stop? It stops with you, with us.
I know, but I can only do what I can only do. I have control over four young people in my life, and I do my best. You have control over
those people that do have control. Responsible.
I don't have any problem with that being part of a solution. But I mean.
Well, no, my argument was, when I started down the road, you were saying, no, this is bullshit. You can't do that. It's a moral obligation.
I didn't say it's a moral obligation. We have come together in the new world, starting hundreds of years ago, for our own collective security. There's a thing called democracy. We make laws. We elect people that make laws, and that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't like it anymore.
I know.
I don't like that anymore.
What you're describing to me is a dictatorship by people of common mind for the collective good, right?
I would be a fair dictator, Matt, just to let you know that.
Right. I know. I no doubt you would be. No doubt you would be, but that's not how we live today. So what do I advocate? What do I advocate for tonight?
Okay, so what you advocate for tonight is to stop the pontification of we need to do something about this. You know, you're going to hear that tonight, and you're going to bite your tongue like, well, isn't that what we're here for? But you're going to hear a lot of that resident, but no one's going to have an answer. A lot of ideas. And even if they came out with the perfect idea, well, we're going to take that to the committee and vote on that.
Right.
You know, remember, school issues is politics. Don't confuse this one. It's not about your kids, boys and girls. School issues are not about your children. No matter who's saying that, they're a bold-faced liar. It's about politics.
Hmm. No, that's
how they make their money.
And politics is about money.
Yeah, politics is about money.
And let me tell you the conundrum that the school district's in. If we allocate money to this, what does that do for our schedule raises? What does it have to do to do with this other program? And so, what is the probability? And so this is awful. You know, what's the probability that it's going to happen to us? It's pretty small. So we won't hire anybody. We'll do a study. We'll come back with a study.
Risk analysis.
Yeah. And so, to me, you're playing reindeer games with my daughter's life.
With my kids.
Yeah.
And they don't care. You know, people go, how can you make such a statement? Of course they care.
No, you're right. But the hummingbird people will say, no, we care. There's nobody that cares more about your children than we who are educators care. You know?
Okay.
And what's the response?
Says to you,
what's the response to that?
Then
protect my daughter?
Well, no. If anybody ever says, we care more about your child, then just stop them right there and tell them, if you ever lie to me again in my face, I'm going to punch you.
I'll be removed from the meeting. I don't want to be removed from the meeting until right before the end.
Yeah, don't stand up here and tell me that you care about my child more than me or the same as me. No, you don't.
But you know that's going to come out. And so, you know, it's nice when you tell me you love me. It's better when you show me. And so, I want to ask.
Tell me you love me. Don't tell me you love me.
No, right?
Don't
we all know
me
it.
You love me. Who sings that song? Don't tell me you love me.
Nobody sings
that song. Like an old 80s band.
Nobody sings that song. So I guess me going there, that's my message. Like, okay, so my first question, my understanding is for 38 schools in the Newport Mesa Unified School District, there's four armed officers. So on a daily basis, we're going to roll the dice with 34 schools. That's if all the officers show up to work. So you're content doing that for the next 2 months until school's out. And then you have some group studying this issue. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to come back and they're going to give us the magic solution. You're good with that.
They're not going to give you. They're not going to give you.
Whoever.
Yeah, they're going to give the school board and the superintendent. Because if they give it to you and it's not the way they want it, it's not going to look good at all.
Right. So that's the first question. So that's what we're going to do. And so you're okay betting the lives of our children. I mean, that thing happened in Texas. It could have happened in our school. We have girls We have girls who turn down boys for dates in this mm-hmm. school all the time, and that's evidently what that was about. And so, and again,
This is a parenting issue.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I can't do anything about that. The only thing I can do is hope that the school district deals with it and can deal with it when it happens. Because how do you stop this? You know, I mean, look, the thing in Florida at Douglas High School is such a disgusting, gross. I don't know how that.
On all levels.
Oh my God! How Andrew Pollack, how those people go to sleep at night. His daughter got shot 9 times by a guy who the police and social service responded to over 50 times. And my daughter's dead. How that guy sleeps for the rest of his life, I don't know.
And then you blame the NRA.
Yeah. No. Sorry. No, there's.
How did you get to that equation? 2 + 3 = 11.
No, it's because you're not really looking to solve anything. You're only trying to advance a political agenda. Okay.
That's what it comes down to.
But the issue is protecting our kids. That's the issue. And he said it very eloquently. He said, no, we can fight about the NRA and about all the rest of this stuff some other time. We have to protect our kids in school. And so what do I tell them? Once we get out of the politics, what do I tell them, Mike? That you have to have an armed presence on every campus while students are there.
You have to have an ECP, a controlled ECP.
Okay.
And you have to have some kind of badging system. And I know people are like, well, man, I'm just giving away some of my... Listen, to be free, you're going to have to give up some of your freedom.
Right.
That's how that works, boys and girls. And you know how that works is me serving for 31 years, I gave up a lot of freedoms to keep things the way they were. It's a sacrifice. You know, as they say, the tree of liberty has to be watered with blood of patriots and tyrants. Everybody know that. So, you know, and you got to get past the. You're going to know the scope of the meeting right away when they start. If they start talking about the whole, this is tragic. How can this happen? I'm not here to talk about how it can happen. We're not going to get it done if we talk about how it happened. Let's talk about how we can prevent it.
Right. And again, I don't even know though that you can prevent them, Mike. I mean, this kid has a shotgun and a revolver and walks into school with a trench coat on. And nobody mm-hmm. says, hey, you need to take that coat off. Oh, it's my right mm-hmm. to, right? You can't tell me what I wear to school, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can. Take that coat off.
Boy, we get caught with this. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh.
It's everything. It's right. The whole system. It's our court systems that are freaking broken. It's our enforcement. It's the civil liberty unions that you can't violate a person's civil liberties by taking away their civil rights.
Well,
they haven't done anything.
And that's what these issues.
But they have the potential to do something.
That's what these
issues
are.
They haven't done it yet.
And they're all about and mental health, you know. This kid's crazy. And the stuff, yeah. Again, the thing in Florida is
you can't
is
divulge
so,
that information because that's private information.
Yeah, there's HIPAA laws, and you can't discuss that, and he's got his rights, and yeah, I know.
Until he becomes a mass murderer,
right.
Then we can do something about it.
I know. It's disgusting.
That's
okay.
The way our system's built.
Okay,
it's
so,
not preventive.
Okay, so
it's
what,
reactive.
So what do I say tonight?
We need to build a system that's proactive, that is not reactive. If we have a reactive system, it is not going to work.
Okay.
And we will face those things.
Okay, so
we have to come up with solutions that are proactive.
Okay, so that's the wider solution, right? Okay, so, and they're going to say we formed a task force, and he's going to give us an update on his timeline and where they're, what they're doing, and so, but what do we do today, Mike? If you were going to this meeting and you knew that in 38 schools, there was only 4 armed security people, what would you be telling those people? What do you need to do today?
Okay, so you should be teaching your kid, like you said, simple situational awareness. If you see these things, these precursors, you know, these issues with someone, let someone know. Don't just let it go and go, social network. Empower the kids.
Okay, and I will say this. I mean, I think I told you the story where Colleen texted me from school and was so excited because they showed a class. Hell, you may know some of these guys. They showed a film that was made by Santa Ana police officers who work for the school district about it's an acronym. It's kind of like stop, drop, and roll, but it's like shelter or flee.
It's called a reactive shooter drill.
Right, and it talks about where you are and in proximity to the shooter and what your action should be to include. But if you're close, you have to fight. And so they showed that.
I'm not a big fan of that because, one, most police officers or uniformed police officers are reactive in nature. They're not crime solvers. They don't drive down the road and then – They can look at someone and go, he's going to rob the bank. Let's go arrest him. They go rob the bank robber after the act is done or the crime is done.
Right.
You know, but we rely on police for a lot of these things. The police, they can't do all of this. It needs the community.
Right. No, but I'm sorry. They've shown that film, you know, in school. Right, as kind of a okay, so you know, and I know that they've talked about the issue, okay, so that's where Colleen's school is, so you know, okay, that's kind of shown a movie. Now what? So what do I tell them? So the broader, longer range solution they're going to come up with their task force. What do I tell them they need to do today in their schools to mitigate this?
Well, you don't tell me. Again, task force, to me, task force are just buying time.
Right. I agree. I absolutely agree. You don't tell me what you're going to do in 6 months. I've got a daughter who's going to come to school for 2 more months. And this could happen any one of those days. This could happen. So I want to know what you're going to do today to mitigate it. Okay? Because the thing that Andrew Pollack, he's on this Florida task force, and they go through the communications and where this kid was and where the community, the school resource officer was. School resource, the kid's on the first floor, his daughter's on the third floor, all right? The resource officer's on the other side of the building. He won't enter into the building, and he's telling other officers not to enter the building. And then he talks minute by minute. And then he goes up to the third floor. He shoots my daughter 4 times, right? And this guy's still telling people not to go in, and he's hiding in this part of the school. And then in the next minute, he walks down the hall. My daughter's now draped her body over a friend's body to protect her. He walks up and shoots my daughter 5 more times, killing both of them. This guy's still on the first floor. He goes through it frame by frame. It's brutal. It's horrible. And to think he has to go do that. So how do we, they have to have somebody there that has to at least be able to mitigate it for the next 60 days, in my opinion. You know, and then, you know, the longer solution is going to be things like, as you said, access points. You know, so we have 2,000 kids all coming through one access point within a 30-minute period. How do we do that? You know,
we space it out. Maybe it's time-driven. Not everybody starts school at the same time.
You know what? I heard that, and I think that's all. Those are all smart things to do, and you solve a whole bunch of it like that. And then the question: well, what if I have 3 kids in 3 separate classes? We'll allow for that. They can all come through when the earliest one comes through, and then there's a study hall for these kind of kids
yeah.
that they can go through. That's easy.
Right.
Okay. But that mitigates it. There, we now have a uniform that you have to wear. Okay. And we won't tell you, you can wear shorts. There are no trench coats. There are no this. There are no that. Okay. And that's,
right.
that's how we get around this. I mean, we went to, you know, look, you didn't carry a book bag, a backpack when you went to school. I didn't either.
No.
Maybe backpacks go away. Maybe you carry your books. And a lot of schools
Why do you need a backpack?
There you go. There you go. And so.
If you need a backpack, you're doing something wrong. Yeah.
So maybe you don't need that anymore. And a lot, since so many schools do computers on, books on computers and stuff like that, you know, maybe that's a thing of the past. And so, I don't know. I just know, I do know this, that I don't know that you can stop this, that crazy people do crazy shit. You can make it harder, but what you do need is every school ought to have somebody there with a gun during working hours that can respond and lessen the damage by, and it's got to be somebody who's qualified, who's not going to shrink when it happens. And I don't
right.
know, I don't see any way around that. And I agree with you though, Mike, all these parenting issues and you see this stuff and it just makes you so angry. You know, like if you knew your kid had issues, you know, and you know, you're around your kid all the time. You see the goofy shit they have. Did you not lock your weapons up? Did you not see any sign that your kid, you know, was unstable or was doing weird shit? Nothing. Then you're not an engaged parent.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Here's an interesting email. Mac, one thing I think parents ought to do on a regular basis is just go through the history section of your router. Yes, your router does save data. You can see the different websites that your router has been pointed to by different members of your home.
Yeah.
Go check that out because that's where you're going to find what your kid's looking at and how long and all the rest of that stuff. You might want to do that if you think your parent, your child has issues. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. So I'm doing that tonight. Any other advice?
Well, yeah.
Any other advice?
Be a parent. You know, be a responsible parent. That's really what it comes down to, too. It's just ask those questions.
Be a loving parent who wants their kids to succeed. And in order to do that, you got to be engaged and you got to be in their life and you got to provide rudder steer, right? It's not a and again, I go back to this, Mike. When we were kids, I went to a funeral on Saturday for company commander at Quezon. And I got in a conversation. I mean, we haven't fought like they fought in 1967 and 68 and 69. We haven't fought like that since then. We have not fought a determined enemy who would artillery, rocket, mortar us, and then fix bayonets and close with us and fight us and counterattack us. We haven't fought anybody since then. You know, we fought insurgents and things like that. But we haven't fought an enemy who would truly get it on with us. And it was an interesting conversation with some Vietnam veterans, you know, as they said, you know, do you think young people can do this anymore? And I said, well, I mean, I hope so. They said, because one of them did faith-based post-traumatic stress counseling. And he said, what they saw isn't anything close to what we saw in a month in Vietnam. So our children are softer. They come from a soft culture. And I said, well, look, from the time they're little, you know what they get asked all the time? How did that make you feel? Now, when you were little, you know, did you ever get asked that? Did you ever get asked that by your grandma when she was pissed at you, when you shot the when you shot the crow off the wire? Did you get asked, well, how does this make you feel, Mike? Michael?
Pigeon.
No, they told you, I'll tell you how you're going to feel. You're going to feel pretty bad because I'm gonna, you know, beat the crap out of you. You know, but that's how our kids are raised in this self-absorbed world where, you getting
their feelings, their emotions matter.
Are everything. How does this make you feel? And it's just like, we didn't get asked that. We were raised more about our responsibilities than our feelings. And
well,
so,
we were raised to be a good person in society.
Right.
That other people came first.
Right. And so your feelings.
Not your feelings. Yeah.
Your feelings really weren't at the top of the food chain. And so it's interesting. And we get these. And so that's the Marine Corps struggles with this through boot camp, right, into the operating forces with these young kids that come into a world that, you know, is really upside down for them. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it affected my morale. I don't give a shit. Did anybody ever issue you morale? What? Yeah. Did anybody ever issue you morale? No. Then we don't give a shit if you have any, okay? Shut up and do what you're told. What?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't care how you feel. Shut up and do it. And that world is so foreign to us or to young people today. It is. It's and you see, you know, evidently this guy, most recent one last week, you know, he spared people that he liked, you know, and he shot people, you know, a girl who turned him down for a date, he shot, and people that he didn't like, he murdered. And why? Because his feelings got hurt? Jeez.
Yeah, God, his emotions matter.
Oh, man. It sucks, man. It sucks. Okay, what else? The Red Sox and Yankees are still, like, on it, which is good.
Yeah, it's a close,
I know.
Close one.
Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez are tied for first in home runs at 15 apiece. Mookie Betts is having, an incredible year as a baseball player. Honestly amazing.
Yep.
So Red Sox and Yankees continue to duel for first place. What else is going on? You do anything over the weekend?
We went and had a barbecue over at Ron and Brenda's. We had elk and buffalo burgers.
and what'd you think? Good, bad?
Oh, I love elk and buffalo, so yeah, it was good.
Good times. I went to the funeral you know how bad the traffic is on I-5 on a Saturday? It just gets stopped at Las Pulgas, because they're just everybody going to San Diego. It's ridiculous. So I wound up to go to Fallbrook from Newport Beach area. I cut through base. And it's just, you know, now when you don't go there very often, it's like all these different memories, right? Go through 5th Marines.
Yeah.
You go through Horno, where Mike and I were stationed together. You know, I first reported to Margarita, right? I saw, and again, a difference in culture. I saw a picture, my Marines from my first platoon when I was a second lieutenant, posted pictures of me E-tool qualifying. So it's at night. I've got a blindfold on. I'm on my knees. I've got this E-tool above my head and my cover. You know, they tell you you're going to hit a penny or a dime or something or a quarter. And they put your cover down there and you hack your cover out of it. And they're taking pictures of it, right? So we're doing an initiation ceremony in the field, right? Company commander's there, right? We're taking pictures of it. Now we don't do any of that. We don't do any of that.
No, because it's hazing. That's you're hurting someone's feelings. You're isolating him. You're segregating him.
And it was awesome. It was fun. And so there's a picture of that. So, you know, you drive by the Duluth training area where we did that. And then out the Fallbrook gate. But no, let me just tell you, his name is Ken Pipes. He retired. He was a company commander at Quezon. Just a humble servant, a humble leader his entire life. I've seen clips of him talking at Camp Pendleton to Marines. And he talked about, he never talked about himself when he spoke. He talked about a couple of his Marines, and one was a conscientious objector, and they passed him through boot camp, and if they had SOI at the time, and he gets to Vietnam, and he flies into Quezon, and so come to commanders, you know, greeting him and talk to him, and the kid looks at him and says, "Sir, I've been told I'm supposed to tell you, I'm a conscientious objector," and.
Right.
And he looks at him and says, "We don't have a billet for a conscientious objector, okay?" And he said, so I thought, and I, and what he said, what I, how I used him was, he was a stretcher bearer. And, we were medevac in Marines to a C-130 when the C-130 landed and we started taking incoming. Three of the four litter bearers put the litter down. And he stayed and laid over the top of a casualty that was being medevaced and was killed. And he said, that's who I had the privilege of leading. He said, that's, and you know, he gives us talk about your legacy and what unselfish courage is. And it's just awesome. And he passed away. And like, he even did this. He wrote a letter to his family, that he didn't tell them about. But he just left where he knew that they would find it. And he said this. He said, I'm not sure about the hereafter. I do know that, for me, heaven was being here with you.
Hmm.
And he left that for his family. He talked about a leader, even in his own death, thinking beyond his death, what does my family need to survive? What do I need to say to them so that they feel my spirit and they're uplifted? And it's just, I sat next to General McMonagle and his wife through the ceremony and held hands and sung the Marine hymn, all three verses with him. He's not a very good singer, just so you know. But he's not, he's one of those people that's not afraid to belt it out, so you gotta love that. And, but he had a huge impact on my life and Mike's life, both. So, it was very, very cool to be in, you know, in and among those kind of people, on Saturday and kind of a little trip down memory lane and a trip to a very cool, sacred place in, that we go to sometimes, but sadly sometimes. Anyway. All right. What else is on the, you got anything going on today? Anything exciting?
No, not today. Just relaxing. Today. It's Monday.
Monday, you got recovery, weekend recovery ops?
Yeah, weekend recovery ops.
We like that. Alright, any, what about shooting? Any shooting events coming up? We need to do our, we were going to start doing classes on weapons, and we need to do one this week. So pick a weapon. Let's do the Glock. Let's do the Glock.
Okay.
And because somebody sent me a link, who sent me a link? Somebody sent me a link where you can buy a Glock for a discount. It wasn't you. Who said?
No, it was. You're a military veteran.
Did Rob send me that? Somebody sent me that. That you could buy a Glock.
Think so.
You could buy a Glock for a discounted price. So, so let's do the Glock 19.
Okay. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Can you send me a couple pictures that I'll throw up, and then you can kind of you can kind of walk through it. So, anyway. Well, let me just tell you, it's good to hear your voice. Right? Good to hear your voice. I'm not going to say I missed you because that would be going too far, but no, it's good to hear your voice and that your head's okay.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Send me those pictures and we'll do gun talk tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, man. Good talking to you. Thanks.
All right,
bye. All right. There he is. Back where he belongs. Text message. Let me get to a couple text messages before we get out of here and some email. Welcome back, Gunner. Big Dave in Vacaville. Hey, Matt, good morning. Can you get Alex's opinion on still creating muscle at age 50? I've lifted weights my whole life, college football, etc. But even with great supplements, i.e. protein powder and sound nutrition, it appears much harder to build muscle now. You know, I'll save this and ask him. He'll come back in 2 weeks. I had a friend tell me that as long as you have testosterone in your body, it's simply a question of eating right and lifting. And that He trains guys. He said, "Mac, I train guys that are lifting weights into their 70s and some into their 80s, and they can create muscle. It's harder because you have less testosterone, but they can still do it. So get on it, Dave. Watch your diet. I think the hardest thing as you get older is your body fat content, because there's so much everywhere we go. There's a ton of food, and it's all good. It's all good." And I spoke about this guy earlier, Ron Reyes. He's a Gold Star son, and he's gone to Vietnam, and I'm going to try to get him to come on tomorrow. He sent an email. "Mac, I just want to thank you for the time you spent with me at Ken Pipes' memorial. He was a giant of a man with a gentle touch. Ken and Betty Rogers have been huge supporters of my journey over the past few years. I appreciate that Ken thought you and I should speak. I have listened to All Marine Radio, and the work you're doing is amazing. I will make sure to promote your mission to all the Marines I know. Thank you for your service to Marines. Semper Fi, Ron Reyes. Proud son of a USMC warrior, PFC Ronald Reyes, killed in action March 30th, 1968. Delta Company 1-9, The Walking Dead. Never met his dad. 4 months old when his dad died. But he's part of the tribe. And hopefully you'll hear him tomorrow. So Ron Reyes, awesome. From my boy Brown, this conversation is not healthy for you two knuckleheads. Talked about the gun, the shooting stuff. No, I mean, I'm going to a meeting tonight, so, you know, I'm curious, you know, what my friends think I ought to say. And Mike's frustration is, and again, it's pretty interesting, talking to Vietnam veterans about what they think of today's veterans. And I would tell you, they won't say this for publication, so I'll say it. They think we're soft. They think what we think is difficult, they laugh at. Because they got raised in a different culture. One in which their feelings were nowhere near the center of life. Other people's expectations were what they dealt with. So, interesting. School shootings. Most school systems are run by liberal leftist-leaning people. Most liberal leftist leaders despise guns, the Second Amendment, and the people that own guns. The obvious answer is to allow teachers and staff that want to carry in school to be armed to augment the school resource officers. Those liberal leftist types hate that idea. They would much rather focus on disarming the gunner and the rest of us. I'm assuming you haven't looked into the PROMISE program yet. There are forces within the education community that are holding juvenile offenders less accountable due to sociological ideology. I have read in several places that the PROMISE program was a heavy influence in Broward County and how they handled juvenile offenders. Yeah, the hummingbird people, you know, they can't understand this, how kinder and gentler blows up in their face. And I'm all about kinder and gentler, but I think we're not equipping young people, in my opinion, with the tools to be successful in life. Because we don't teach them how to be tough. We teach them that your emotions are the most important thing in the world, and how you feel, and all of that garbage. And that's not the way life is, man. Life is not that way. And so, if we don't teach them that it can't be your way, that it has to be about respect, it has to be about you functioning when things go wrong, and that your feelings aren't the single most important thing going on. If we don't teach them that, and again, I think we all know, schools tend to be run by liberals. And you look at what's going on in colleges across the country, you know, if you're a conservative, you know, you're probably not going to be allowed to speak on a college campus, depending on the college. I mean, look, I can tell you that, you know, throughout my career as a student, that was unheard of. And at that point, it was leftists coming on campus and speaking, but they were still allowed to come. Can you imagine? And we don't do it like that anymore. And I don't know. So I will be happy to report what happens at this meeting tomorrow or tonight. I believe it's at the 7 o'clock or so that I'll go to. So, and I have every intention of speaking if I can with that simple message. Like, look, you can study this, but you shouldn't bet the lives of our children by not having an officer in every school now, today. You've had plenty of time to do this. You've had plenty of time to ask for additional funding from the state, and if you need to do it, to lead the charge to the federal government to help you pay for this, because there's school districts all over the country that are in the same boat. You've had plenty of time. Why aren't you doing it? But you've got to secure it first, study it later. Okay? And if you fail to do that, the burden that you will live with for the rest of your life is the most crushing and unforgivable burden that that you can live with. So, have a great afternoon. This program will repeat itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. And like I said, hopefully you'll hear from Ron Reyes tomorrow. And his story is an amazing one. He's a Gold Star kid. Father killed in action in Vietnam, as you just heard, if you just heard the email. He was in Delta Company 1-9, and Ron was 4 months old. But unlike a lot of people, he's become an agent to help other people get better. And he's a very, very cool guy. And so it was a pleasure to meet him on Saturday. So hopefully you'll hear from him tomorrow. So have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on a Monday. All Marine Radio out.